and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn podcast network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Mastering the Business of Yoga. I am really excited to be here with you today, and I'm really excited to dive into today's episode of the podcast. Today on the show, I am joined by Allie Temple. Allie is a yoga teacher and a digital nomad who's traveling full-time and running a remote yoga business. In this episode, Allie shares her journey from teaching yoga full-time in person to shifting everything online. She talks about what that journey was like, where her revenue comes from, where she's been traveling over the last few years, how she chooses places, and how she decides what to offer online versus in person, since she does have some in-person offerings happening in the places that she is based. She also shares tips for anyone who is interested in starting their own location-independent yoga business, as well as business lessons that she's learned along the way. And if you have been following for a while, then you probably know that I've been working and traveling since 2015, 2016, right around that time. So well before the pandemic, and have also figured out how to run an online yoga business. And so getting to connect with a fellow digital nomad, somebody else who's really passionate about traveling and particularly slow traveling, who's in the yoga industry, was really, really cool for me. Allie and I have a lot in common, also being from Western Canada, obviously loving yoga and travel. And so we really hit it off right off the get-go. So this is a really fun episode with lots of good stuff in it. And if you've been thinking, hey, I do most of my stuff online, maybe I could spend part of the year or a couple months of the year traveling, working from somewhere else, something like that, then this is definitely a great place to start. And before we dive into the episode, I just want to give a little shout out to the sponsor for this episode, Offering Tree. Offering Tree is my number one recommendation for yoga teachers who are looking for an all-in-one software. I really love that Offering Tree can do everything from one platform. So that's everything from your scheduling, your booking, your marketing, things like courses, memberships, workshops, online classes, video on-demand libraries, and more. So I'm going to tell you more about Offering Tree a little bit later on, but if you want to get a jump start and go check them out, head on over to offeringtree.com/MBM. All right, let's get into the episode. Without further ado, here is Allie. Welcome to the podcast today, Allie. I'm really excited to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, can you share with listeners where you're joining us from?
I am joining you from Phuket, Thailand. I've been here in Thailand, just coming to the end of my year here.
So amazing. And I have so many curiosities and questions having to do with that, but I'm trusting we're going to get there since that's such a big, important part of your journey and your business. But I want to start by hearing a little bit about your yoga journey, how you got into yoga, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got into yoga about 20 years ago. I was actually a competitive figure skater. So I grew up in Canada, in a small town outside of Vancouver. And as you do in Canada, you grow up in an ice rink for the most part. So I was a competitive figure skater and I had a lot of injuries. I started practicing yoga and that was how I began. And it was really just a physical practice for me, I think, for most when we begin at that time. And it took probably a good decade of ups and downs and departures and returns for me to really come to appreciate everything that yoga has to offer. And I've been teaching for 9 years now, and really my practice and my teaching have evolved so much over those time frames.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And it's always interesting to hear when somebody comes to yoga from like a competitive sport or something like that. Did you have like a coach or a doctor, somebody who recommended like, hey, yoga would be great, you know, so that you're more flexible, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, my coach at the time told me to do yoga because I had a lot of back issues. And injuries from skating. And so she recommended I do that. And then also there was the transition. When I stopped skating, I started coaching competitively. So I wasn't as active anymore. So my practice, when I really started getting into yoga, especially coming from that competitive sport, was the power yoga and the hot flows and all of the stuff that I thought was just there to keep me in shape.
Yeah, I can really resonate with that. I came from a competitive dance background and was very similar in that way. And I'm curious for you, like, at what point did you decide, like, hey, I want to teach this? Like, what was the journey like from, hey, I'm doing this on the side of like competitive figure skating, I'm coaching this, et cetera, to like, hey, I'm going to teach yoga?
I think I got to the point in my coaching career that I worked really hard to build. I was coaching in one of the top skating schools in the country and working amongst coaches that were Olympian level. And it was very intense. It was very cutthroat. It was political. It was all of the things that really didn't resonate with me. And I had started getting more into my practice and realizing how good I felt when I was in the yoga space and practicing with others. And I just realized that this is something that I want to be able to share with others, the practice of letting go and listening to your body, and kind of a lot of the opposite of what competitive sport brings. So I, at that point, shifted from spending all day in an ice rink as a coach. I left Vancouver and moved to Los Angeles for my first 500-hour teacher training, hot yoga. So I really just did a 180 there, going into the desert and into hot yoga full time. But that was really what brought me there. I wanted to help people in a way that felt more aligned with my values.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely resonate with that also. And I'm curious, like, what did your career look like for you from that point? Like, did you start teaching right away after you got your training, or what were you doing?
Oh, no. I definitely struggled there. So a bit of a funny story. When I went to LA, I went for a teacher training, and leading up to it, I quit both of my jobs. I put all my stuff in storage. I wanted to live in LA. I just wanted a change of scenery and some warmth. So when I went to my first teacher training, I was hoping to stay for at least 6 months, because generally that's what we're granted as Canadians, to go to the US. And I was flagged at the border. I really just, in a nutshell, didn't have my stuff in order and couldn't prove that I'd be coming back to Canada, which, fair enough, I didn't really at the time want to. So I went there, I did my teacher training. I came back to Canada, and then I left again. And I did not have a place to practice yoga, but I just felt so drawn to spending more time there. So the yoga studio that I did my training through back in LA, I just practiced there every day. And I took the initiative to start teaching in the park anyone and everyone who would show up to a free class, because the studio there didn't have the capacity to support me at the time. And I was a little bit too stubborn to give up and go home. So I started, I don't know if you remember Meetup, that website. I guess it's still around, probably, meetup.com. But that was really how I first started teaching. I just put myself up there and started offering classes in a park in the middle of LA and at the beach in Santa Monica. And I was so determined to work on my practice and to get over all of the fears that I had of teaching that I just threw myself into it and tried to teach whoever would show up. So that was the beginning of my teaching journey.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I love so much about that. And I love the stubbornness and the determination to just make it happen. Cause I think this is one of the things that maybe people going into teacher training or into yoga teaching don't understand, is that sometimes there is a little bit of hustle that happens. Like, there's not, and I think this is often the case, there's often not a job just waiting for you at a studio, right? It's like, we kind of have to create our own opportunities and just do whatever we can to get that first little bit of experience. And then gets easier and easier to get jobs once we've got experience. But there does have to be a little bit of that, like, that drive and that desire, because otherwise it can just feel a little bit, it can be a little bit challenging.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have to really want it and you have to be persistent and you're really faced with all of your stuff when you start teaching. And then I think what I've found interesting is bringing it back, all of that stuff coming back around when I started to launch my own business, because anything you haven't dealt with, you meet yourself in this place of vulnerability. And if you haven't dealt with the blocks that are coming in that are stopping you from beginning to teach or beginning to put yourself out there, then you're really not going to get to wherever it is that you want to be going, wherever your dreams are and your goals are. So dealing with those blocks and working through them is essential at any point of your journey as a yoga teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I completely agree with that. And I think that's been my personal experience also in my own journey. And I'm curious, I want to talk about starting your own business, but I'm curious if you can kind of give us like the high level overview of like, you know, from this point of being in LA, wanting to teach, running these classes on meetup.com, you know, what was kind of the journey before you decided like, okay, hey, I'm ready to do my own thing?
Well, there was a huge journey ahead of that. So that was 9 years ago. And just to try to summarize what I went through there, I stayed in LA as long as I could, which was 6 months. And then I came back to Vancouver and really started teaching at studios and growing my, just getting more experience, really, because that's what you need to do when you start teaching. But I still wanted to be in LA. So I kept working towards that dream for a couple of years. And then I had the opportunity a couple of years later. I was actually invited to move to LA. I was offered a 5-year work visa through those same studios that I did my training at and moved to LA. And that was a huge dream of mine that was coming to fruition. So it was really exciting. And quickly through my time in LA, I became the lead teacher and the teacher development manager at 3 top studios there. Worked my butt off to get to that point. And I loved what I was doing. I loved where I was. But come 2020, just like everyone else, most of us, we were forced to just sit and reflect and think about what's working and what's not working. And that was really when the big shift happened for me as far as shifting towards my own business. That was when I realized what I'm doing right now. I'm running around between studios, sitting in traffic, reading emails when I wake up and when I go to bed, and doing all of this work behind the scenes. I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. This isn't really the lifestyle that I was chasing. So that was when I started to put myself out there and create online offerings and once again work through the mindset blocks and the limiting beliefs around self-worth that I certainly still had at that point, even though I had accomplished some big goals of mine. It was like I had to start over again once I started to put myself out there on my own without the support of a studio. So that was very challenging for me. And so that was in 2020, and it took me about a year to try and trying to figure out how to do this on my own. I had no business experience, as I think most of us as yoga teachers, many of us don't. Many of us don't learn anything in our teacher trainings about how to be an entrepreneur or run a business. So I tried to learn those things on my own. And then I worked with a business coach, and that was really the turning point that supported me, because I really needed direction. I needed support. I needed guidance from someone who had already done what I was trying to do. And that really helped me out a lot. So that was 2021. And since then, I've been working full time and traveling and doing all the things and still learning a whole lot as I go. But I've been able to maintain a place of existence in my business that I'm really proud of and that feels good for me.
All right, yoga teachers, we're just taking a quick break from the podcast to talk a little bit more about OfferingTree. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, then you know that I really love OfferingTree, and there are many reasons why I love it. One of those reasons is that OfferingTree is consistently doing updates and upgrades to their platform. And one of the most recent updates that they've made has been all about memberships. So the first update that they've made to their membership software is that you can limit who can purchase your memberships in OfferingTree. So you can now create exciting new customer offers by limiting your membership to be purchased by only new customers who've not bought another package or membership from you before, or limit the membership to one per customer account. You can also set intro prices for your memberships. So you can now run creative promotions like 50% off your first 2 months with the ability to set intro prices for memberships. Once the membership has been renewed for the set number of billing cycles, the price will revert to the full price of the membership. And you're able to do both of these new updates on all plans, so regardless of what plan that you're on. And both these things really take a lot of the manual labor off of things in your business that you might want to do, like new student specials or a discount off the first couple months of the membership. So super, super exciting stuff. Definitely go check it out. Check out OfferingTree. You can head on over to offeringtree.com/MBOM to get a little discount, and stay tuned for new updates and features coming soon. All right, now back to the episode.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm curious, when you talk about limiting beliefs around starting your own business, I think this is something that strikes a chord with me. And I'm sure many people listening are kind of like, oh yeah, you know, I've either experienced that or I am experiencing that. I'm curious, like, how you manage that, how you kind of push through that, how you dealt with those limiting beliefs in order to, you know, achieve your dreams and create your business.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was a lot of just self-reflection and meditation and looking at the root cause, like really sitting with, why do I feel this way? Why am I so terrified to put my first meditation on the Insight Timer app? That was how I got started. And just sitting with, what could happen? What's the worst that could happen if I try this? And, you know, the more time I spent just considering this and seeing that other people are doing it and thinking about what I want my life to look like and what I need to do in order to get to that point, was eventually enough for me to push myself forward and try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the piece of self-reflection. Like, I feel like so much of dealing with this type of stuff within our own businesses is kind of what we like teach through the practice of yoga, right? Or like what we learn through yoga, and then what we talk to our students about. It's kind of a little bit of like practice what you preach.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's very much intertwined that way. And, you know, when we talk about our bodies, it's the same thing. If we're not taking care of ourselves physically, then how do we tell our students to take care of their bodies physically? And it's the same mentally and emotionally. If we are not showing up for ourselves in a compassionate way, how can we teach that to our students?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I completely agree with that. And so you kind of mentioned this. You said you started with a meditation on Insight Timer, but I was wondering if you could kind of walk us through, you know, what your online business started as, and then we can get into a little bit more about what you're doing now that you're traveling full time.
Well, it has transformed many times over the last couple of years. And I think that's part of the process. And I think that's also what makes me a great mentor to others, because I've been through so many ups and downs in that first couple of years of my business. But I started off, just offering yoga nidras on Insight Timer. And what got me there was when I was sitting through self-reflection, I was thinking, what have my students in the past said to me? What kind of comments have I received? What kind of workshops have I offered that have been successful? What kind of questions have I received from students? And something that my students loved for many years were my yoga nidras. So that felt very comfortable. Well, very uncomfortable, but the idea of that felt very aligned for me. So that was how I got started. And I started to focus on yoga and meditation for sleep and for relaxation and for stress relief. And that was the beginning until I realized that everybody else was doing that too. And I really wasn't niching down enough. So from there, I worked on really shortening what I was offering into something unique and something that was even more aligned to what I wanted to be sharing with people. And that really was a work in progress. Something that I tell yoga teachers all the time is when you go to choose your niche or your specialty, it's a living, breathing thing. It's not like you have to choose one thing right away and that's what you're stuck with for the rest of your life. It's more like this is something that feels right now, and it will probably evolve and change as we do, as we grow and as we learn. And that's definitely the case for me. That's something that it changed a lot over the years, and especially over after the first year or year and a half of struggling with figuring it out on my own. That's when I realized that I could start supporting other yoga teachers, not only on their process of building a business, but just around the mindset piece again, because so many, as you know, yoga teachers are struggling with the self-doubt piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. A lot of self-doubt, a lot of imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, challenges with believing that they can make it possible. And I know the pandemic was hard on a lot of people, right? And so I think there was a lot of kind of dark moments where people were wondering, like, will my business make it through this? You know, will my yoga studio make it through this? And there's also a lot of, you know, beautiful things that came out of the pandemic where people kind of realized the potential of what they could do. And I've seen so many yoga teachers kind of step out on their own, like what you're talking about, and creating their dream businesses, which I think is certainly like the making lemonade of lemons type of situation. And I love what you're talking about. It just many iterations of your business and not having to, whatever you start with, it doesn't have to be like that. And I know I've, you know, thrown spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. And there's many things that I'm not doing that I kind of started with way back when, and things that I am doing that I never could have predicted when I started out. And I think that's part of the beautiful aspect of sort of the roller coaster ride of entrepreneurship, if you will.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really one of the things I love about entrepreneurship is it never gets boring. You know, it never gets dull. And for me, having heard a little bit of my past, you know, I like a challenge and I like adventure. And through entrepreneurship, I am always challenged. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm sure you've probably seen this before, but there's some sort of kind of like meme thing that's on social media, and it's like what people think entrepreneurship is. And it kind of shows you like sort of a linear progression of things going up, right? It's like, oh, you start a business and you get more customers, you make more revenue, steadily progresses. And then it's like what entrepreneurship actually is. And it's this like squiggle that goes like up, down, left, right, up, down, left, right, you know, just kind of all over the place. And I feel like that the first time I saw that, when I was kind of in the depths of like, oh God, what have I done? Quitting my full-time job and doing this, was like, okay, yeah, this is resonating with me. Like it's very much just all over the place. And there's so many things we can't predict with it. Yet at the same time, it's like so fun, so rewarding, and so cool to see something you're excited about come to life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just have to have the persistence and flexibility and courage to go after that and not give up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Courage and persistence are good words for that. And so I'm curious for you, had you thought prior to this point in time that you might want a location independent lifestyle? Were you really interested in travel, or like kind of where did this piece come in for you?
Yeah. So my husband and I love travel, and we had been talking about one day, you know, it's always one day when the time is right, we would love to try this out. How can we do this? We had actually been on a trip in Costa Rica in early 2020, right before everything closed down. And I remember sitting in a coffee shop thinking, just working remotely for the yoga studios that I was working for at the time, and just thinking like, this is so cool. Like, one day I want this for myself. Like, how can we make this happen? And so it was a longer term goal of ours that maybe a few years down the road, we would figure it out. The time would be right. We would have done X, Y, Z. And then when we got back and I was sitting in my little LA apartment reflecting it, and, you know, obviously everything was online, so that was already created for me. Just like you said, taking lemons and turning them into lemonade, we realized we have built a foundation that we can go out and try it, even though, given the challenging circumstances of travel and everything else right now, but we have the freedom and we have the time. So let's try this now. It was the end of 2020, actually, when we moved out of our LA apartment, donated most of our belongings, put a few things in storage, and haven't had a home base since then. And we thought, let's give it a year. We are comfortable enough to try this out for a year. And if it doesn't work, we'll come back and we'll regroup. So that was 2.5 years ago. And it's been quite the ride. It's been an incredible experience. It's definitely similar to that meme on entrepreneurship. It's been up and down and sideways. And it's been just, I've never been happier. I've never had less stuff and more freedom in my life. So I'm really grateful that I had those moments before all of this happened where I thought, maybe one day I can figure this out. And then I had the moment where I had enough courage to go for it and give it a shot.
I love that so much. I'm so glad that you were able to take that leap and go do your thing. And so can you tell myself and listeners like what your business, you know, looks like when you're traveling and working? Like what exactly are you doing to bring in revenue?
Mm-hmm. So I do have two different kind of niches. So my yoga business specifically, I am leading retreats around the world, which has been so cool to get to go to a place and then get to know retreat hotel owners and get to form relationships and bonds and then bring people in from around the world to come on retreat with me. So that's a big part of my business. And the way that I stay connected to yoga students and meditation students around the world is offering classes and sessions online on Insight Timer and on YouTube and creating content regularly on social media. And I teach some privates as well. So that is my yoga side. And that has been so great. I just offered a week-long retreat in Phuket here, just down the street from where I'm living. So that was wonderful. And then I also coach and mentor yoga teachers and other wellness entrepreneurs on how to build a life like this, how to get started with creating your own offerings that are aligned and purposeful and create revenue for yourself, as I learned the hard way in the last few years in how to do that myself. So it's a combination of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I love that you've got a dynamic aspect to your business and a couple different niches that you're working with. And I'm really excited to dive into like what you learned and, you know, what you would tell people who are interested in doing this themselves. But before we get there, I'm curious, can you share a little bit over the last couple of years, like where you've been based, how you choose locations, that type of thing?
Yes, definitely. So when we left in the end of 2020, the options were limited in where to go. And we really wanted actually to go to Thailand, but that wasn't an option at the time. So we went to Mexico and we chose that. Mexico is as you know more than I do, such an incredible, incredible country. And being a Canadian, it was a simple move and a very free and welcoming opportunity to begin this journey. And not far from Canada, not far from home. So I started out there and didn't really find the right location that felt like home and wanted to keep exploring. So after other places started to open up, my husband and I both really wanted to get back to Southeast Asia. We had been here prior in 2019 and really felt called to explore more. So from Mexico, after I think about 5 or 6 months there, I went to Bali. So this was mid-2021. Went to Bali, thought that as soon as I get to Bali, everything's going to fall into place. Everything will be perfect. You know, you have this picture of Bali in your mind and it's paradise and it's incredible. And it is all of those things, but it was also a pandemic and travel was challenging. And although Bali opened up, we got there and it closed back down like as soon as I arrived. And the Delta variant showed up in Bali and the entire island shut down and everyone went on lockdown. We were in a little villa that you think you see these pictures of these Balinese villas that look so amazing. I don't know if have you been to Bali, Amanda?
Yeah, I've been a couple of times.
Yeah. So you may have stayed at a villa that has like the outdoor kitchen and the outdoor living space. Which is, you know, the typical Bali villa. So we got one of those. And then, of course, we both got COVID, the Delta variant, and we're stuck in this tiny villa with no comfortable indoor living space with COVID. And our credit card stopped working. It got eaten by one of the bank machines and just kind of everything that could have gone wrong in that moment did to an extent. So it was an interesting introduction to life in Bali. But from there, things did end up getting easier and stayed for 5 or 6 months and then moved on and went back to the US for about a month. I think it was over Christmas. So we went to visit family in Canada and then again went to Mexico. And I hosted a retreat in Mexico. And that was incredible and really great. And Mexico again was just so freeing and so comfortable coming from Southeast Asia and what we had been through. We loved our time there, but at that point, toward the end of that trip, Thailand had opened up and that was our dream. That was our goal. So it was April last year that we arrived in Thailand and we found a way to get a one-year visa. And that time is just coming to an end very soon and have spent a year here in Thailand working remotely. And like I said, I hosted a retreat actually just about a week ago and making connections and having some really life-changing experiences here in Phuket. So that takes us to the present.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all of that. And I love that you're doing quite a bit of slow travel too. I found over the years of my travels and working remotely and traveling specifically, we've just like slowed down more and more as time goes on. Cause I just find it so much easier to actually work, you know, to work on your business while not feeling this like constant pull to go do things because you know you have more time to do them and stuff like that, which is that's the hard thing about working and traveling, right? Is like you need to work, but you also want to work on your business, but then you also want to explore the place you're in.
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say that is something that I learned the hard way because when we first went to Mexico, I was so focused on building my business that I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't getting to enjoy a lot of what Mexico had to offer. I was sitting at my computer like 10, 12 hours a day, just really trying to make that work because I wanted this lifestyle so badly that the lifestyle that I wanted was actually passing me by and I didn't have any boundaries set up for work-life balance. And when you do start traveling, like you said, I do recommend picking a spot and staying for at least a month. And I have supported other yoga teachers who are just moving around like crazy. And I see in them what I experienced as well. It's so hard to take care of your mental and physical health when you're traveling, especially when you're trying to work at the same time. So I've learned a lot about what you can and can't do if you want to not only build a thriving business while you're traveling, but feel good about it and enjoy it at the same time. So that was a lot of trial and error for me at the beginning. And now I've come to a place where I realize, you know, what I need is 1 to 3 months in one location without changing apartments or Airbnbs or hotels. And I need to set up a routine. I need to move my body every day and sit on my cushion and meditate and do my energy work. And I need to eat healthy and do some cooking on my own and all of these things that I really had to learn the hard way in that first year or so of traveling to understand, like, if this is going to be sustainable and I'm going to build a thriving business, there are definitely some non-negotiables that need to be put in place in order to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I feel like I can really relate to this. When we started our nomadic journey, I guess it was like back in 2016. Remember we like booked a week in Singapore. We went over to Asia and we were going to a conference and it wasn't starting quite yet. So we went to Singapore for a week, and having come from a background of backpacking, we were like, a week is so much time. Like, we rarely spent a week in one city, one place. And we learned super quickly that a week was not enough time if we were trying to work, because we needed, you know, probably 5, 6, maybe 7 hours during the day to actually do the work we needed to do. And then we wanted to go to exploring. And just like you said, it's so hard to do things like have your yoga practice, have your meditation practice, go to the gym if that's your thing, you know, have time to actually go to the grocery store and buy groceries and cook some meals. It's just like, you just don't have enough time. So you're just go, go, go with work, and then you're go, go, go with travel. And I just feel like doing that over the long term is recipe for burnout.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And there's no shortage of burnout recipes out there already. So for those of us who want that travel lifestyle, we need to be prepared to set ourselves up properly. And this is something that I've been supporting other yoga teachers with as they prepare and as they have begun traveling full-time, because I've felt it, I've seen it, I've experienced it. There's no point in putting yourself through burnout traveling when you've probably already come from burnout being at home, working your butt off already. And that's one of the reasons why you want this alternative lifestyle to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I feel like that's bang on. I think for so many of us, it's like, we've shifted away from maybe like the corporate grind, or we've decided to do something we're more passionate about. And then it's a really slippery slope to kind of get back into grind, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. And then you're in burnout all over again. So yeah, I think that's really great that you're supporting people with that. And I know you've already mentioned a couple of things. We've talked about a couple of things that you've learned already, but I'm curious if there's some more learnings that you can share from, you know, everything that you've done over the last 2 years of full-time travel and working remotely.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely talk more about setting boundaries, because this was a game changer for me. And for me also, through my yoga business, I am focusing more so on empaths and people who are more sensitive, and not only to other people's energies, but to the spaces around you. And for me as an empath, setting boundaries has been crucial, not only for my business, but just for my own personal energy. And so some of the ways that I have set up some boundaries in this lifestyle are just figuring out a regular schedule that works for me. So throughout the day, Monday to Friday, I know that, especially being over here right now in Asia, that I'm going to be on my calls and in my classes and with my mentorship students and clients in the mornings. So I block that time off to do that. And then I make sure that I have a consistent movement schedule, move my body, and then time for to make a healthy lunch and then work again. But at 4 o'clock, I close my computer and I go out and enjoy. And often that looks like catching the sunset at the beach and just winding down and spending quality time enjoying myself. And so setting boundaries like that have been crucial to making this lifestyle sustainable. That's really the biggest one, I think. And as an empath and someone who works with other sensitive people, it's understanding what my needs are and not being afraid to voice that. You know, I think for those of us who are more sensitive, or many yoga teachers, I see this all the time with my clients, that we are people pleasers. We want everyone else to be happy. We want to take care of everyone else, especially those who are parents and educators and really anyone who is helping other people, putting others before yourself. And I think there's a place for that to an extent, but you have to take care of yourself first. We've all heard this. We've all said this to our students and our clients probably, but if we are not doing that, then we are not, like you said earlier, talking the talk, walking the walk, and it's not going to be sustainable. So figuring out what you can handle on your plate, what makes sense for you to take on and what doesn't make sense, and not being afraid to say no. This is something that, of course, I know people who are living and working remotely or in person and in a community, that boundary is so key as a yoga teacher and as a business owner, understanding and not being afraid to say the word no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And saying no is so hard for a lot of us. I know it's definitely something that's hard for me. I think too, what you were talking about with the schedule is really key. Like, I feel like for me, when I first started my business, I was very much rebelling against like the Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Like, I'd be like, oh, it's Wednesday. I don't have to work today. I control my own schedule. And then what that kind of turned into was just working constantly. Like, I ended up saying, you know, maybe I wouldn't work on Wednesday afternoon, but then I'd end up working on Wednesday night or Saturday. And I just felt like, again, it was leading to this burnout where I was just working constantly. And then, you know, setting my boundaries ended up being like, okay, I need a 2-day weekend. Is it feasible for me to do it during the week? Maybe, but it works a little bit better for both my husband and I to just do Saturdays, Sundays. Okay, how can I get all my work off my plate? How can I set a shutdown time, like you said, with the 4 p.m. and, you know, close my computer, close work down and just be like, okay, I'm going to go enjoy something now, whatever it is, you know, going out for drinks with a friend or going out for dinner or just going for a walk, you know, whatever it looks like. And I feel like that stuff is so, so, so important.
Yeah, it's so essential. It's same with me. I have also committed to weekends off, and it's just the act of unplugging and enjoying, especially with this lifestyle, that there's so much that we can be exploring. And my husband and I love going on adventures. So we'll take the motorbike out to a waterfall or do something in nature to actually unplug and refuel and just feel like this is why I'm working so hard at building this business and supporting others so that I can fully be present in the moments that actually matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's finding that balance, right? It's finding that balance between the work that we're passionate about, serving our clients, serving ourselves, but also, especially when you've created like a location independent lifestyle, making sure that that's working for you too, right? Because we don't go to Bali or Thailand just to see the inside of a villa or the inside of a co-working space, right? It's like we go to see those things, and it's striking that balance between the two, because building our business is important, but going out and enjoying ourselves is important as well.
Yes. Yeah. So finding the balance that makes everything feel good and sustainable is really the number one thing I would suggest to anyone who is looking to have a location independent lifestyle, or even just to start building your own business.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if anyone is kind of interested in this, maybe there's somebody who's been like running their own Zoom classes throughout the pandemic, maybe they've like created some courses, memberships, video libraries, that type of thing. Basically, they're teaching, making money, everything's happening online. And they're kind of like, huh, you know, I've wanted to travel more. I would love to go do this from Mexico or Thailand or Bali, one of those places. What would be some of your like top tips for somebody who's like just getting started with this type of lifestyle?
Yeah, I would say, as we mentioned before, looking at your mindset, looking at what you can let go of that might be standing in your way, whether that's limiting beliefs around your self-worth, whether that's financial blocks. I'm sure, as you know, that's a big one for us as yoga teachers, charging our worth. And another thing that I've found can come up a lot around wanting this kind of lifestyle is noticing other people's opinions and making sure that those are not holding you back, not worrying about letting others down. So for me, when I continued working for the studios in LA for about a year when I started traveling, and that worked well for me. It served me well as I was building out my business. And I felt a bit of a responsibility to continue supporting them because I didn't want to let them down. So I had to get to the point where I felt strong enough, not only financially with my own business, but to say that I need to move on. It's time for me to focus solely on myself. And I had to just let go of the fact that they might be disappointed, because in the end, I can't really support them in the best way possible when I'm at my villa in Bali, the way that I could support myself and my business. So letting go of other people if they don't understand, because so many people just don't understand this lifestyle, and that's okay. They don't have to. But if it's something you want to go after, you have to get over that. And a couple of other things that I think anyone should focus on if they're considering this is, business-wise, if you have started doing the Zoom classes or you've done them in the past, really, I'm sure these things you talk about often, Amanda, but building a community, building an online community where you are growing your audience regularly, you are showing up consistently online, you are creating a niche that is specific to a problem that you've overcome that you want to help others with. This will help you whether you want to offer online workshops and one-on-ones and events, or in-person workshops and one-on-ones and retreats. It doesn't matter whether you want to work online or in-person or a hybrid of both, like I do. You need to set up those foundations through your business, and you need to be prepared to show up consistently, just like you do, Amanda, with your podcast. And this is something that I had to work through, going back to the mindset blocks of putting myself out there. And I know that that's where a lot of yoga teachers get scared, and the fear shows up around just showing up on video or audio or something consistently and showing people who you are and being okay with not everyone liking you or not everyone connecting with you, because that's how you'll find the right people that you are meant to be supporting with your offerings. And other than that, it's, I think, just taking time to plan around what makes sense for you. So setting up your schedule and the timeline for you for travel or for your business that feels good and feels sustainable, and it's not something that you just saw somebody else doing. So what I do might not work for the next person, but figuring out how you are going to make this business and this lifestyle sustainable really takes some time and some thought and some trial and error. So other than that, it's just going for it and not giving up when things get challenging.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing all of that. There's so many good little nuggets of wisdom in there, and so many things that I was nodding my head along to as you were talking. And I just want to touch on a few of them. I love what you were saying about like not giving up when things are challenging. And I think that your example of like getting to Bali, being so excited. And I mean, Bali comes with this kind of this stereotype that everything is really great, right? Like we've seen it in the movies and everything always looks really awesome there. And I think for the most part, like Bali holds true to that. But, you know, things do happen. Things like lockdowns happen, things like getting sick happen. And that stuff can happen outside of the pandemic too, right? Like just because we're post-pandemic doesn't mean that you aren't going to show up and get sick. I mean, Bali belly is
real. Yeah.
And I feel like I've had so many experiences where I almost feel like it's like the universe is testing me a little bit, like kind of how bad do you want this right now? And that goes both for challenges with business and also challenges with travel, right? And when you blend the two of them, it's like you're kind of just a little bit more vulnerable and susceptible to, you know, a bag getting lost and then your Airbnb's internet doesn't work or something like that. You know? So I really love that piece of advice.
Yeah, and that brings me to something that I haven't touched on already that I often share is that finding support is so key. Finding a community or a mentor, someone who has been through what you're going through or is also currently going through it, is so, so important for whether you are building a business or starting to travel or both. You need to be able to connect with others who are going through similar things. And, you know, that's when you're able to, I think, it's easier for you to laugh about those situations when you can connect with someone else who has already gone through something similar. And it's easier for you to continue on through the challenging times when you have a community of others or a support system of some kind that understands what you're going through and how to help you through that and how to hold space for you throughout that. So that's something that I've also learned along the way, that support is really key through this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would 100% agree. And I know you kind of mentioned it earlier on as well, is like, I think it's becoming more and more common now, especially with the pandemic. But something I found, like when my husband and I first started this, is that it was really uncommon. And so while friends and family were excited for us and they were supportive, they didn't really understand what we were doing. And it was really, really important for us to find a community of other like-minded people, like other people who are working and traveling. And so I feel like finding kind of your other like nomad people who are interested in the same things and going to the same places is hugely important. I feel like now we've got this really solid community of kind of like best friends that, you know, we don't see them every weekend because we're not always in the same place. But when we do see them, it's like no time has passed. And then also coupling that with somebody who, like you said, can support you with your business. And, you know, maybe it's the same person, like maybe it's somebody like yourself who is nomadic, is working remotely, understands that aspect of it, can be, you know, a friend and a pillar for that, but can also support on the business side of things. But maybe it's like finding your community of nomads and then hiring a business coach, because I feel like having those two aspects of life supported is so important just to find a little bit more ease and flow, I think.
Absolutely. Really, both aspects are essential with this lifestyle. And something that I've found as far as finding, actually, one thing that I struggled with at the beginning was that I was not getting out there and meeting people in person, and I was only doing online. And for me, I found once I started getting out to local yoga studios or cafes or networking events, or just being more open energetically to meeting other people. And as an introvert, that's not always the easiest thing to do. It's much easier to just hide in my apartment on my computer. But getting out and meeting people, especially in this past year for me being in Thailand, I've made so many amazing connections that have really supported both my mental and emotional state and my business. So once you do start to travel, you have to get out there and meet people, no matter how challenging that is for you. One thing that I will say that's been really helpful for me is actually getting onto Facebook groups. So wherever I am, whatever city I'm in, if I know I'm going to be there for a while, like a month or so, I'll look up on Facebook and find like either digital nomad groups or local yoga teachers. There are so many Facebook groups out there. And for a long time when I was living in LA, I was a little bit like anti-Facebook. And since traveling and running my remote business, I've realized that this is such a powerful tool in connection. And it can take you off of your computer and offline and in person and meeting people that can really support you along the way. So that is a piece of advice that I like to share with others who might have a harder time getting out and meeting people when they're in new places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that because that's definitely something I found too. And I think especially after like a full day of work, I don't always feel like going out and socializing, and especially maybe with people that I don't know, right? Because you just have to be a little bit more on, you have to think a little bit more. It's not the easefulness of friends you've known forever. But there, I've also found the same thing. Like it's just, I feel a lot better when I've made the effort to get to know people and then I've got some friends I can go do things with and that type of thing. And Facebook groups are amazing. Like expat Facebook groups, digital nomad Facebook groups, there's always like fun events and whatnot. And that's the perfect way to start building your community. And, you know, maybe you meet a bunch of people that it was nice to see for a couple of hours over dinner or drinks or something like that, but you don't want to see them again. But, you know, you might meet some people that become like lifelong friends, which is, I think, a really beautiful, beautiful part of that lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely. It's so worth it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So thanks for sharing that. I'm curious, Allie, is there anything else you want to share with listeners? Anything else you want to leave them with in terms of advice or wisdom before we wrap up?
I think the main takeaway that I would love for anyone who's listening to this and considering changing your lifestyle to something that is more aligned and that might feel like just a pipe dream right now is really paying attention to your mindset blocks and what is holding you back and connecting with others who are already doing what you want to do so that you feel the support and you go after your calling, because stepping into a place of unknown is obviously uncomfortable and challenging. But once you get there, it's so beautiful and it's such an adventure. So if you are feeling a call to explore this idea of travel and of building your own business, go for it. Reach out. I would love to connect with you as well. You can find me on Instagram. Let me know your story or where you're thinking about moving to. I love chatting with other teachers over there. And just know that you're not alone.
Yeah, I feel like that's really beautiful and a beautiful place to end things. And if somebody wants to maybe work with you one-on-one or attend one of your retreats, learn more about all that, where can they go to find all of that information, Allie?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Allie Temple Yoga. And that is somewhere that I show up regularly. I am currently accepting a 2 one-on-one mentorship clients. So you can learn more about that there. And I also have a free 3-day video series if you are considering to travel full time and start a remote business. I've got lots more juicy details in that video series. So you can find that if you go over to my Instagram page, you'll see it there as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that. We'll make sure that there's links for all of that in the show notes. And thank you so much for this conversation. It's just been a real treat getting to chat with you and so fun to hear your story and hear all the wonderful things you're doing with your business.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Amanda. It's been really fun to get to connect with someone else who a pioneer in this industry who has already been traveling and living an alternative lifestyle for so long outside of your comfort zone. I'd love to chat with you again some more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we have lots in common. So definitely have to keep the conversation going offline.
Totally.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Allie Temple. Make sure you go check her out, give her a follow, definitely reach out to her if you have any questions or comments about
running an online yoga business. She is a fantastic resource and has so much good stuff to share, like you guys heard in the episode. Of course, a big thank you to Offering Tree for sponsoring this episode. Make sure you guys go check them out, check out their resources, all the stuff that they have to offer for you. And of course, thank you for listening to this episode of the show. I couldn't do it without you. All right, that's all from me. I'll see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the podcast. To find links, notes, resources, and everything mentioned in today and all episodes of the show, you can head on over to mbomeyoga.com. You can find the podcast and myself on Facebook and social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And I would love for you to join the private Facebook community, Yoga Business Badasses. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please make sure you reach out to me at info@mbomeyoga.com. And last of all, if you enjoyed this episode of the show, please make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It would mean the world. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.